Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Chemplast Sanmar Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ram Kumar Shankar, Managing Director, Chemplast Sanmar Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. On behalf of Chemplast Sanmar Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to everyone joining us on our call today. On this call, I am joined by our CFO, Mr. N. Muralidharan, Dr. Krishna Kumar Rangachari, who leads our Custom Manufactured Chemicals division, and SGA, our investor relations advisor. As you're aware, Mr. N. Shankar, Chairman Emeritus of the company, passed away on April 17, 2022. His contribution to Chemplast, with which he was associated for 55 years, and indeed Indian industry, is invaluable, as were his contributions to the fields of sports, music, heritage, education, and healthcare. We would like to pay our respects to him today, and I speak on behalf of the management team in saying that we rededicate ourselves to the value systems that he held so dear. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchange and on our company's website. The company has reported very good results for the fiscal year 2022, a year marked by an important milestone in our history, our initial public offering. Our focus on consistently delivering outstanding operational results, combined with our dedication to strengthening our balance sheet, has helped us advance our performance by every passing quarter in this year. For the year as a whole, we registered our highest ever revenue of rupees 5,892 crores, which was a 55% growth on a year-on-year basis, with a healthy EBITDA margin of 20.3%. We also achieved the highest ever net profit of rupees 649 crores, a year-on-year increase of 109%, and the record EPS of rupees 43.66 per share. The quarter gone by witnessed the third wave of COVID with the Omicron variant. Thankfully, this was much milder due to the effective vaccination program in the country and did not have much impact on either demand or on operations. The impact of the ongoing Russia-Ukraine crisis is felt more on the energy prices, with rising coal and power prices rather than on demand and supply. Russia is net balanced in PVC trade, with Ukraine exporting 140,000 tons per year of PVC, but India does not import any significant quantity of PVC either from Russia or Ukraine. So we do not expect any significant impact from that crisis directly. Q4 has been a good quarter financially, with revenues recording a 35% growth year-on-year. Our EBITDA, however, registered only a marginal increase of 1% in Q4 on a year-on-year basis, largely because of the very strong Q4 that we had in FY21, especially in our PVC business, as also the higher cost of PVC inventory at the end of Q3. Murali will talk about the numbers in detail a bit later. Looking at the individual business segments, our specialty chemicals business continued to be strong. With the reopening of schools, the footwear demand saw a resurgence, and that had a beneficial impact on paste PVC demand. This was coupled with the continuing logistics problems internationally, resulting in lower imports. The stronger demand coupled with this lower import arrival enabled us to liquidate the excess inventory which we had built up in Q3. This also led to a year-on-year increase of 28% in our sales volume in Q4 22. Also, our custom manufactured chemicals saw a significant increase in sales during the year, mainly driven by strong demand and commercialization of new products. Chemplast has recently been upgraded to development supplier status by one of the customers, and they now consider us to be a key supplier for their requirements. With the entry into this elite group, we have already started to receive additional inquiries for new products. The other products in our portfolio, caustic soda, chloromethanes and hydrogen peroxide, complete the integration play. Caustic prices continue to be very strong. The high energy price scenario in Europe and various plant issues in the US have combined to keep caustic prices high internationally. Our caustic realizations continue to grow in Q4 as the lower price contracts ran out and newer contracts were taken at the current higher prices. The demand for chloromethanes, which feed into the agrochemical and pharma sectors primarily, has continued to remain strong. Suspension PVC prices rebounded in Q4 of FY22 with a pickup in demand and supply tightness around the world. Owing to solid demand and liquidation of the inventory built up in the last quarter, our suspension PVC sales volume surged by 13% to 87,523 metric tons, leading to an excellent growth of 25% in the revenues on a year-on-year basis. There are some immediate short-term challenges, though, arising from the COVID lockdowns in China, leading to a temporary increase in export of PVC from China. This is putting some pressure on the PVC prices in the region. While this is accompanied by a similar decrease on the feedstock prices as well, the benefit of the drop in feedstock prices will be seen only after a lag of 30 to 45 days. The medium to long-term outlook for our various business segments continue to be strong. The structural imbalance building up in both suspension and paste PVC, as well as in caustic soda, will support the prices and demand. Over the next 5 years, the operating rates of specialty paste PVC resin producers are expected to remain high on account of healthy demand growth, with capacity additions not keeping pace. Chemplast is in the process of adding a 41,000-ton capacity at Cuddalore, which is expected to come on stream in the financial year 24. Most orders have been placed and construction is expected to commence very soon. The outlook for custom manufactured chemicals continues to remain robust with sound customer inquiries. The first phase of our CapEx involving setting up of a new multipurpose plant is slated to be completed by the first quarter of FY24. The Indian chloromethanes market is expected to grow in the future, led by the transition to more sustainable refrigerant gases by air conditioner and refrigerator manufacturers. We have started work on restoring our caustic capacity to the full install level of 119,000 tons per annum, which should also be completed in FY24. The domestic market for suspension PVC has been steadily growing, largely led by growth in the pipes and fittings market. Indian demand for suspension PVC is expected to be strong through the next decade, given the much lower level of penetration in India as compared to the rest of the world, as evidenced by the very low per capita consumption. Moreover, government projects on housing, water conveyancing, infrastructure, and smart cities are all expected to lead to a strong demand for suspension PVC. As we speak, we are working on debottlenecking of our suspension PVC capacity by 10%. This is already partially under implementation and expected to come fully online by the end of the first quarter of this year. Now I would request our CFO Muralidharan to share the quarterly financial highlights. Murali?
Thank you, Ramana, and a very good morning to all the participants.
Sorry to interrupt. Sir, we are not able to hear you.
Thank you, Ramkumar, and a very good morning to everyone on the call. Hope I'm audible now.
Yes, sir. Please proceed. Thank you.
Looking at the results of the company for Q4 and the financial year FY22, there was a significant increase in our revenues during the quarter as well as for the full year FY22 on a YoY basis. Revenue from operations for Q4 FY22 went up by 35% on year-on-year basis, from 1,342 crores to 1,807 crores due to pickup in demand coupled with better realizations for most of the products. As we mentioned earlier, we ended the last quarter with higher level of inventories for both paste PVC and suspension PVC due to restrictions around operation of downstream units in the NCR region due to poor air quality and extended monsoons during October-December 21 quarter impacting the demand. The demand picked up strongly in Q4 FY22 and the inventory levels are now back to normal range of our inventory. EBITDA for the quarter was at 346 crores, registering a marginal growth of 1% on year-on-year basis. Volume increase was offset by slight drop in the margins on account of the cost of inventory that we carried over from the previous quarter. EBITDA margin for the quarter was at a healthy level of 19%. On the balance sheet front, our debt reduction since the IPO continues to drive a pronounced improvement in our credit profile. The company continues to be debt-free on a standalone basis, driven by significant deleveraging that we achieved through the IPO and the strong operational performance during the year. CRISIL has upgraded the rating for the long-term debt of Chemplast Sanmar Limited, as well as its subsidiary Chemplast Kadalur Vinyls Limited, to CRISIL AA- stable from CRISIL A+ positive, while reaffirming the short-term rating at CRISIL A1+, which is the highest rating for short-term facilities. With the lower debt and renegotiated interest costs, our finance costs for the quarter came down to 35 crores as against 92 crores on a year-on-year basis. With a combination of slightly higher operating profits and lower interest and finance costs, the PAT for the quarter is at 232 crores, which is a 29% higher on a year-on-year basis. For the purpose of like-to-like comparison, we have excluded 185 crores of profit after tax from joint venture and associates from Q4 FY21 PAT. These investments, as you would know, have been delinked in FY21. On a full year basis, the revenue from operations for FY22 grew by 55% to these 5,892 crores as against 3,799 in the corresponding period year, driven by higher realizations as well as higher volumes for most of our key products. FY22 EBITDA rose by 40% to 1,197 crores on year-on-year basis due to a combination of improved margins as well as higher volumes. EBITDA margin was also at a healthy level of 20%. With the deleveraging that has been achieved during the year, interest costs for the year dropped by around 25% from 433 crores to 322 crores. Going forward, the drop in interest costs will be even sharper. Driven by high EBITDA and lower interest costs, the net profit for FY22 was at 649 crores, which is more than double last year's PAT on a comparable basis. I think on an overall basis, on all parameters, the company has done extremely well compared to the last financial year. With this, I conclude the presentation and open the floor for further discussions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Ahmed from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Ahmed. Sir, the audio from your line is not clear.
Is this better?
Sir, I'll request you to use the handset mode while speaking and not the speakerphone.
Yeah, okay. And can you hear me now?
Sir, a little better. Please proceed.
Yeah. So I was just wishing the management for a good year and thanking them for a good year. And I'm addressing myself to the management and through the management to the board. With a question not so much of an operational nature, but a bit more strategic. Could you tell us how you think about capital allocation? You have a strong balance sheet now, and you don't seem to have a CapEx plan for the cash flows that you will receive. Our understanding was that dividend is an important thing for you as well. It certainly is for us. Not so much because of the absolute value of return on investment, but also as a reflection of corporate philosophy towards shareholders, capital allocation, and eventually the return on equity. It's disappointing that there's been some silence and deferment of this decision. It'll help us if you can comment on this.
Mr. Amit, good morning. This is Ram Kumar here. And thank you for the wishes at the beginning. And what you raised is definitely an important question, and I will endeavor to answer it to the best of my ability. We are very much seized of the importance of the capital allocation decision. And we are focused on growth. We want to grow this business because there are myriad growth opportunities in the various product groups that we are present in. Given the fact that India is so significantly undersupplied in all these product areas, as also the fact that structurally the world is heading towards an imbalance. We are seriously looking at a few CapEx opportunities which are over and beyond what we have already announced and what we are already working on. So those are plans that we are looking at, which will possibly, we will have more clarity over the next couple of quarters. And it is about, it is only for that, when we get that clarity and we understand how much of capital would be required for these projects, then we would come out with the clear announcement on both the future CapEx plan over and above what we've already announced, as also our capital allocation. We do understand the disappointment right now, but you would have to grant us that we have just been post-listing. It's just been two or three quarters, and we are still young. We are working on this entire growth of the company, and we will get back to you once we have that clarity. We do not expect that to take too long.
Okay, for now, I accept your answer, sir, and I'll come back to you next quarter. I have a colleague who has a few operational questions for you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. So now one question is regarding the inventory. So last quarter, we closed with 6,000 tons of paste-based inventories and close to 24,000-25,000 tons of suspension PVC inventory. So can you share the number at the end of Q4?
Yeah, at the end of Q4, we have 3,500 tons of suspension PVC inventory and only 520 tons of paste PVC inventory. So we have significantly liquidated the stock and come back to our normal inventory levels.
Got it. Now, just one question to understand the margins of suspension PVC business. So we sold about 87,000 tons this quarter, and close to 20,000-25,000 tons will be from the high-cost inventory. So if you mind, if I want to bifurcate the spreads we earned on the old inventory and the new production we did in this quarter, can you just throw some light how the difference will be in the spread?
Okay, the overall contribution, by contribution we mean the realization minus the variable cost, including not only the feedstock cost, it also includes the power, utilities, additives, all of that, conversion cost, everything is included. Overall contribution for the quarter was around 22,600 rupees. Out of this, like we had mentioned in the last call as well, the first 2 months we had indicated that will be impacted by the inventory that we carried over, high-cost inventory we carried over from the previous quarter. So the first 2 months average was somewhere around 18,000 rupees. The last month average was close to 29,000 rupees. This sort of averaged out to 22,000 as a whole.
Okay, got it, got it. Now, question on the CMC business. So in the commentary, you mentioned that we have done a high growth in this quarter, and we don't disclose the bifurcation for the specialty chemicals business between paste PVC, custom manufacturing, and the rest of the chlorochemical business. So can you just throw some light on what percentage revenue growth we did in the CMC business this year, if not the absolute amount? That is first question. And the second question is regarding the margin impact. So our understanding is that we'll be procuring some intermediates from China for CMC business. So there will be some lag in the pass-through between the increase in the cost and the pass through we do to our customers. So can you just throw some light on the revenue growth and the margin for the CMC business?
Yeah, I will first address the margin part, and then I would request Krishna Kumar to talk about the other question that you had. On the growth number that you talked about, we had alluded to a number of 35%. We had talked about last 3-4 years, we've been growing at 35% level, and we were saying that our growth will be on similar trajectory going forward. I can only mention that we have exceeded it by a significant margin. I would like to avoid getting into the exact number, but I can only say that we have exceeded it by a significant margin.
Got it.
Thank you.
On the other question, I would let Krishna to respond.
So related to the cost pressures, yes, there were some significant pressures through the year. So some of our arrangements with our customers allows us to pass on a reasonable amount of those increases, and so we were able to pass that through, based on the formula pricing we have for these products. So that's my answer related to the cost increases. But we continue to see these pressures, being there, for the foreseeable future as well.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant only. The next question is on the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Sanjesh.
Mr. Sanjesh Jain, we are not able to hear you. Mr. Sanjesh Jain?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry for this. First on the suspension PVC, we said in an earlier call that we were in discussion with one of our partners to supply the VCM and possibility to expand the suspension PVC now from close to 300,000 to 600,000 metric ton, and we also have a EC clearance, land and infrastructure for that. Is procuring VC becoming even more difficult in the scenario where gas prices are very high? How should we see this availability of VCM for us to expansion? Do you think this issue of lower VCM availability is going to go away anytime soon, or it's going to take more time than what we have anticipated earlier? So that's on the first one. On the second, more on the custom manufacturing. Now we were earlier guiding a growth which was in a historical range. Now it looks like from your comment it's going to be significantly higher than that. So in a new improved scenario, do you think this can go far ahead of what we have anticipated, and the capex could be preponed now that balance sheet is better and more opportunities can be taken given that these are multi-purpose plants? So in a new scenario, is it fair that we on a lower base we should be able to grow at say 40-45% for next few years? Is that a real possibility? And number three, on the caustic soda, we are talking of restoring certain capacity. So what will that mean in terms of additional capacity for us in FY24? So what will that additional capacity be? So these are my three questions. Thank you.
All right. Morning, Sanjesh. This is Ram Kumar here, and I will take questions 1 and 3, and I will then request Krishna to take your second question. In terms of VCM availability, yes, VCM is, as you know, a refrigerated gas, and it is not that easy to transport as well, and it needs to be handled with special care. The availability of VCM also has, it is there around the world, but you need to have a very good supply chain to access this. This is something that we've built up very effectively, and we have sources for the VCM from the Middle East, from Europe, and from Northeast and Southeast Asia. we are quite comfortable in the supply chain that we've built up. We also partner with a leading Japanese trading company, which has the world's largest position in VCM. And therefore, we are very confident about meeting the existing requirements as also for the already announced phase PVC project. As far as the significant expansion is concerned, that is where we are, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's, and we will take that up when we are absolutely sure. You know, it has always been our practice to ensure a very high level of comfort and confidence before we announce a project. But once we announce it, we go ahead with it and execute it well. So that is what we are working on. So we believe that we will, as far as our existing operations and the announced projects are concerned, there is absolutely no problem in terms of the VCM. Like I said, we have a very well-established supply chain and a multiplicity of sources as well. In terms of the caustic soda that we are talking about, we are currently at 100,000 tons. Our total capacity, installed capacity is at 119,000 tons. This was always a swing plant, which depended on the make-or-buy decision on ethylene dichloride. And now that the make part of the decision is what is coming out as the most beneficial, we are working on restoring that 19,000 tons. This should be online by FY24. And that's the volume that we are looking at for caustic soda. And does that answer your questions on the first and the third?
Yes, sir. Just one follow-up there. You also mentioned that China has a lockdown and that significantly slowed down the activities in China. And hence, yes, there is a lot of supply from China to India. Two things, considering the coal prices where they are and Chinese being more on a coal source, they are still selling at a lower prices considering that the raw material prices have significantly gone up?
They are. See, most of the carbide-based PVC plants there, out of the 20-odd million tons, you know, 15, 16 million tons have their own captive carbide. So they would not see that cost so much. It's only the balance 4 or 5 million tons which will have that. The situation in China is, as you know, quite unique right now. They have over 375 million people under some kind of a lockdown in around 45 cities across the country. The lockdown has affected mostly the southern and eastern parts right now, which is where the demand area is, whereas the production area is all centered in the northwest and central regions and the Manchuria province. So if you take all of that, you know, that is why there is some excess PVC that is being built up in China. So that is being exported out of China, and that is keeping the prices low across the region. But feedstock prices have also come down quite significantly following this. Except that, you know, like I mentioned in my opening remarks, that will take maybe a 30-45 day lag before the benefit of the feedstock price drop kicks in. So that is why I said that this first quarter could be affected by the situation in China. But the good news is that there are some reports emerging out of China which say that by end of May, this could start winding down and there could be a better situation. We all hope so. And if that happens, then this will dial back very soon. But this is really a very short-term kind of a phenomenon.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. On the custom manufacturing.
Yeah, Krishna.
So this is Krishna here. Related to the growth for the custom manufacturing business, we already indicated that, you know, our existing assets, you know, we are almost at operating at capacity. We did some debottlenecks last year, which has helped us with the growth, you know, that we accomplished. And we will continue to have some more debottlenecking exercises that are ongoing, and so we hope to spread the assets further. So to that extent, you know, we will be limited by the capacity at the current site with respect to our projections for this year. But we've already triggered the CapEx project related to the next phase of, you know, investment and increasing the capacity at the site. And so once that comes on stream, you know, we would be able to again ramp up our volumes. And we also have the flexibility. I think you had another question on, you know, whether we have the ability to accelerate the growth. And so in the investments that we are looking at, you know, this multi-purpose block, we are creating the flexibility to, you know, further bring in additional capacity on stream at a very short notice, depending on how the projects in our pipeline move forward. So to that extent, you know, there will be a lot of flexibility available to us to increase the capacities at, you know, fairly short notice.
Also, Sanjesh, even in the investment that we are doing today, almost while we had indicated we'll do it in phases, almost two-thirds of the total investment that we had discussed during the IPO, we have already committed that investment now. So that will come on the first phase itself, and that will come on stream by Q1 of next year. So you will see growth happening from next year. This year, like Krishna explained, that we are doing some debottlenecking to take care of the growth, but it will be limited by the ability to debottleneck. From next year, you will again see the growth bouncing back in this business.
Fair, sir. Thanks for all the answers, and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and congrats for a good set of numbers. So in the presentation, you have shared the revenue numbers across three segments. Can you tell us the EBITDA breakup also between commodity, specialty in those three segments?
Sir, so the way that we look at is Kepler's Sanmar is in one entity, and the CCVL is another entity. So non-specialty products as well as the specialty chemicals come under Kepler Sanmar. So they share a lot of common integrated facilities, manpower, all of that. So we track only at a contribution level for both of those product groups. So we don't track product group wise for specialty products and non-specialty chemicals. Whereas for suspension PVC, of course, we do track the EBITDA at suspension PVC level. So we'll be able to provide you the data for Kepler Sanmar and for Kepler's Kadnoor Vinyls Limited. On Kepler's Kadnoor Vinyls Limited, the EBITDA for the quarter was around 156 crores. On Kepler Sanmar, the EBITDA for the quarter was around 191 crores.
Sure. My question, the background for my question is also that what is happening is that when we are giving the segmental EBITDA of specialty and non-specialty together, you know, the market is not able to appreciate the number that you are sharing in specialty, because we have the revenue number but not the EBITDA number. Hence, the overall EBITDA that we are seeing as a company is being looked different by the market as just entirely commodity, and that's why our you know, valuation of the boss is quite low. So my again request would be that we should start to see how we can give the street a better color and understanding of the specialty side of our business. Secondly, sir, on this current business, if I get it right, you said the growth for the full year was around 40-45%?
On the CRAM, what I mentioned is we had indicated a growth at, earlier of around 35%. I said we have far exceeded that growth in the current year. In fact, it's slightly above 50% levels.
Sure. And that, this 50% plus growth, if you could give us a sense, is it driven primarily by volumes, or it is just a function because prices went up, or is it because that you also did a lot of product mix changes and it's a question of better product mix, if you could give us some sense? And secondly, while you don't specifically share the EBITDA number, if you could tell us how has the profitability of that business done this year vis-a-vis last year?
Sir, it is primarily due to volume, volume growth from existing products, as well as we had mentioned earlier, we commercialized two new products this year. Those also added to the volume. So primarily driven by the volume that the revenue has gone up during the year. And the profitability we had talked about earlier, the business generally makes a contribution of somewhere between 40 to 50%, and think it stays closer in the roughly around that range.
Okay. I thought with the 50% type of growth, we should have got some benefit in terms of operating leverage, and hence the margin this year would have been slightly better. Or is it that because we wanted to grow volume significantly, we took some hit on the margins and focus on volume instead?
No, we have not consciously taken any reduction in terms of margins when negotiating. At the same time, when the new products that you commercialize, it takes sort of a year or so for things to stabilize and you reach the full potential of now. So that impact will also be there.
Sure, sure. And my last question again on capital allocation. So sir, by when can we expect more clarity on the capital allocation? And without any specific project, over a 2 to 3 year perspective, now that we are more or less, you know, balance sheet become very, very strong, what the intent would be? Would we only be looking in terms of using the internal accruals for growth, or we would not shy away from having some sort of a leverage? And if you could share that number, like what numbers you are comfortable in terms of leverage, in terms of either debt equity or debt to EBITDA, that would be very helpful.
Sure. On the CapEx, I think like Ramkumar explained earlier, we are actively looking at CapEx both in the specialty side as well as in the suspension PVC expansion. And as and when we get we want to come to the market when we are reasonably certain of all the aspects that we are looking at, and that is why we are taking a little more time. And we mentioned earlier, it's just 2 quarters away from the time we registered and deleveraged our balance sheet. So please grant us some more time for us to do our internal work and come and present to the market the growth plans. We can only assure you that we are actively looking at projects, and we will come back and present it to you. And as far as the use of funds, whether we'll use only internal accruals for the expansions, we believe that debt is an integral part of capital structure. So we would avail debt for the projects as well. And we would like to have a right mix of debt for the project as well. As well as the debt, what level of debt we would be comfortable with, as you would know that post-IPO, the rating has consistently moved up and it is at AA- level. So we would like to retain a rating for this company, AA- around this level of rating for this company. And so we would sort of be comfortable taking a debt which sort of doesn't impact our rating going forward. That's broadly how we are seeing the projects and capital allocation.
And is there a minimum IRR?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sushira. Sir, may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants to restrict their questions to 2 per participant only. The next question is on the line of Vandana Soni from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, Raj here. So here are just one or two clarifications. By when does the CSM capex come on stream? You mentioned, sorry, I missed the timelines. You mentioned 2/3 of CSM capex is already committed and it will come on stream by when?
First quarter of FY24. Towards the first quarter, June, July of FY24 is when it will come on stream.
Okay, sure. And you mentioned about the breakup in the margin, for the first 2 months, it was around 18,000 rupees per ton, you mentioned?
That's right.
And third month, you mentioned gross margin was 29,000? That was the number?
Yes.
So current margin, and you mentioned there is some inventory loss kind of situation right now also, because raw material prices and all are sliding down. So where would the current margin be? Could you give any idea? Because it's quite disparate, right? First 2 months 18 and then 29. So where should ballpark the number? Where are current margins, spot margins at?
Yeah, I mentioned that 18 versus 29, it's primarily because the inventory that carried over. Otherwise, the margin levels were reasonably healthy during the quarter. And as far as the current margin is concerned, we are more or less close to the last quarter's average. We are close to somewhere around 23,000 levels.
Okay. And that is again because of some kind of inventory loss kind of situation, because as you mentioned, prices are sliding down. So on a spot basis,
Let me take that. This is Ram here. Just to give you some background about what is happening in the market, let me just take a step back. In October 21, when the peak prices were hit, at that point in time, suspension PVC prices were ruling at $1,900. I'm talking CFR India. And the VCM prices in Asia were at around $1,600. So that left a delta of around $300 at the top. Then by January 22, when prices had cooled off after China dialed back on their dual controls, etc., the prices came down to $1,500 on suspension PVC, but the VCM prices went down further to $1,100. So that increased the delta actually to $400. Then by April 22, the CFR India prices of suspension were at $1,560, whereas the VCM prices had dropped to $1,195. So your average, the delta was around $365. Right now, we are looking at possibilities of the PVC prices going down to maybe 1500, but the VCM prices will go down to 1100 or lower. So we believe that the margins, the deltas are quite stable. The problem, the reason why the month-on-month margins could vary a bit is largely because the arrival of the feedstock, normally that's a lag of around 30, 45 days. Therefore, while the finished product price, any movement, affects the Indian prices immediately. So in a rising market, this will tend to help us. In a falling market, this will tend to impact us for that 1 month or 45 days. So that is really what is happening. Otherwise, the deltas are remaining pretty much stable at between $325 to $400.
Okay. Sure. So this 23 will include some of inventory loss, as you mentioned, because of the 45-day lag. Maybe the current on a spot pricing basis, maybe if prices are stable, then there is no gain loss. It will be somewhere between 23,000 to 29,000 rupees gross margin.
You're right. Your understanding is spot.
Okay. Sure. Perfect. And also, you mentioned the breakup between the EBITDA between Chemplast Cuddalore at 156 crores and Chemplast Sanmar at 191. So Chemplast Sanmar has your suspension, this paste PVC plus CSM both combined into it?
Yes. Chemplast Sanmar has paste PVC, CSM business, and it also has the non-specialty product, which is caustic soda, chloromethanes, and hydrogen peroxide and ref gas.
Okay. So here, if I see your revenue, Chemplast Sanmar revenue, then effectively, which is specialty plus non-specialty, that is at 640 crore, whereas suspension PVC is 1158 crore. So, despite being 50% of the revenue, EBITDA is higher than Chemplast Cuddalore. So that's the kind of profit differential you are seeing in paste PVC business.
That's mainly because of the level of integration that we have in the Chemplast business. There we are fairly integrated till the ethylene level. So we are able to import our own ethylene, make EDC, and then make in-house the VCM and convert to paste PVC. And so we are also on the caustic soda side as well, we have our own captive salt fields. We have significant part of our power captively. So we're fairly integrated there, which translates into higher margins there. In the CCVL business, it is a sort of a one-step process where we import PCM and convert to PVC. So there we actually derive the margins of that one-step process, whereas here an integrated margin that we are able to derive. That's broadly the difference.
Sure. And just one last question.
Sorry to interrupt. Sir, may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchhal from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Sir. Thank you so much. Sir, can you split the, can you probably give us the breakup of power and fuel cost? This is the quantum of power and fuel cost in Q4 and last year Q4?
Okay. If you're looking at how much of the power is actually coming from which kind of source, is that the question, then I can...
That you had shared earlier. I just wanted a ballpark sense of what's the quantum. Just to understand, this probably will be the run rate given how the power prices are, how the global commodity prices are prevailing.
Okay. For instance, in April, we consumed around 3.76 crore units. If that's the question again, I hope I'm getting it. So if you want to understand, our total power consumption in 21-22 was 43 crore units. and that went up from 33 crore units in 2021, largely because in 2021, because of the national lockdown on COVID in April to June, a lot of our plants were not running at that time. So 43 crore units was the full year consumption of power in 21-22. And in April, if you're looking at it, it was a little less than 4 crore units.
And so almost 60 to 70% is captive, in sense either your own captive power plant or gas plant, and the rest is to the grid.
That is right. So in April, for instance, 55% comes from coal and gas, which is captive plants, and the balance is bought out.
And so secondly, also a small breakup. In the finance cost, I believe you have this trade financing and one is the pure loan on which you pay the interest. Is it possible to, in some sense, split the number? Because I believe the trade financing will not decline, but the core finance cost, which is that you pay on your loans, that will decline.
Yeah, the total loans that we have is around 867 crores at an average cost of around 8.25%. So that will be around 70 crores per annum, which translates to roughly around 17-18 crores per quarter. Rest of it pertains to the trade finance, NC opening charges, all of that linked together.
And so one small technical...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Muchal. So may we request that you return to the question queue. Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from the line of Chintan Cheda from Quest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congrats for a great set of numbers for the full year. My first question is related to the custom manufacturing business. So before this phase one of CAPEX in June, July comes up, do we have sufficient capacity to maintain this 35-40% kind of growth rate?
Like Krishna explained earlier, actually we are more or less out of capacity in the custom manufacturing business. So we are debottlenecking to some extent to address the new products this year. But that will be a limited debottlenecking that we'll be able to do. We'll be able to achieve significant growth once the phase one of the expansion gets completed in the early part of next year. So this year it will be a bit of a limited growth constrained by capacity that is available. From next year you will start seeing the strong growth.
So based on the orders in hand for FY23, what is the growth that you're estimating in this business? Hello.
I don't want to guide you to exactly one number on the percentages. Like I said, the growth will be reasonably limited. We don't expect it to cross 20% this year, primarily due to the fact we are restricted by capacity.
Okay, got that. And so secondly, can you give the capacity utilization levels in your non-specialty commodity business like caustic soda, hydrogen peroxide, and your chloromethanes? What is the capacity utilization over there?
If you look at the three segments, which is the suspension PVC, suspension PVC capacity utilization was at 99% this year. And on the non-specialty products, the capacity utilization was around 80% level. That's primarily in the caustic soda business where, like Ramkumar is explaining earlier, we are restoring our capacity from 100,000 to 120,000 tons. So because of that, we operate the caustic capacity at 100,000 tons level. Otherwise, all other products effectively operate to full capacity. On the specialty products as well, on the paste PVC custom manufacturing, our capacity utilization was at 99%.
No, I'm just asking about the capacity utilization of chloromethanes and your hydrogen peroxide. If you could share how much at what capacity utilization they are running.
Chloromethanes operated at 99%. Hydrogen peroxide operated at around close to 50% level. And that is where we had mentioned earlier also that the hydrogen peroxide will get ramped up to full capacity utilization next year. So it will hit the full capacity utilization in FY22-23.
Okay. And so there's one other...
Mr. Cheda.
Yeah, I'll get back in with you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on the working capital side. There has been a sort of an increase there in a year-on-year basis. Both in 21, there was an increase, and 22, things have increased further. So if you can just highlight, is there any business-specific impact here?
There is no business-specific impact. Actually, it's all due to timing difference. If you look at the working capital, the increase has come from inventory debtors, and which has been partly offset by increase in trade payables. So on the inventory, actually, we had, it depends on the timing of shipments of VCM that you get. We had a significant amount of VCM as goods in transit at the end of the year. We had almost 20,000 tons of VCM as goods in transit towards the end of the year, which contributed to the increase in inventory throughout the year. It's only a timing difference. As well as the debtors, as you know, in the suspension PVC and paste PVC, which are the where the large volume ones, where our credit period is effectively between 3 to 7 days. So this debtors increase is primarily due to the higher sales in the custom manufacturing business in the last quarter. There, generally, we have a 60-day credit period. Since it was more skewed towards the last quarter, the debtors went up towards the end of the year. Other than that, there is no change per se in the business model.
Thank you. The line for the current participant has dropped off. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Jayesh Gandhi from Baroda BNP Paribas Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. One is that on the specialty chemical business and other businesses that you give segment revenues, you said you track the businesses more on contribution. Now, if I look at the contribution this year, it's closer to 30-35% gross contribution compared to 40% plus a year back. As you look at next 2 years, what would be the range? Would it be closer to 30% or would you think it would be closer to 40% or some guidance or some color here would be helpful?
On a overall basis, I suppose you are talking about gross margin numbers.
That's right.
Okay. When we say contribution, actually we don't look at only gross margin. We look at even after considering the power, fuel, additives, all of that. All of that is considered. On the gross margin numbers, actually we would only guide you this way. If you look at the last year, gross margin and EBITDA, whichever way we look at it, if you look at the last year, we made the 344 crores of EBITDA on OYON basis and a gross margin of 545 crores, which translated to a 26% EBITDA margin and 41% gross margin. Whereas even with slightly higher gross margin this year, the absolute number at 601 crores, the percentage looks lower to you. That's mainly because the base has changed. So what we track, more importantly, is the per unit contributions. That is what is more important to us, because if the price of the end product goes up and price of input also goes up, we still get our margins on a per ton basis, which will flow down to the bottom line as well. But when you look at the gross margin, you may assume that the gross margin level has dropped from the compared to the previous year. In reality, the profitability of the business, in fact, would have improved because we would have got a higher per ton margin from that product. So we would only request you to look at per ton and overall EBITDA numbers rather than getting into percentage.
Makes sense. So would you say the 22 overall EBITDA is more sustainable, or you think you can achieve the 21 number as the expansion gets into actual production?
No, 22 EBITDA numbers, there's no problem on the sustainability of the numbers that we have had in the last year. And in fact, as we roll out these projects that we've already announced, we will start seeing the impacts flowing in, largely from 23-24. A little impact of that will be in 22-23 with that PV suspension debottlenecking and the hydrogen peroxide, growing or ramping up. That will add, definitely to some amount to the sales of maybe around 400-500 crores. But from 24 and 25, when all the projects are coming up fully, the increase in sales for the announced project itself should be to the tune of around 1,700-1,800 crores. So, and therefore, obviously, the margins would also be to that extent more. So, sustainability of the current EBITDAs is something that we are confident about.
Wonderful. Good to hear that. The second quick question I have would be on the revenue side. If you could, break the specialty chemical revenue into the two parts, which is, that would be really helpful. While we have the volume numbers, my sense is the volume numbers include the volume numbers for both, right? It is the cans business as well as the PVC numbers. So I guess if you can break it up into two, it would be really helpful. The specialty-based PVC and the custom manufacturing.
So we do note your point, and like we had explained earlier as well, we look at, internally at least, we look at three specific product groups, which is specialty chemical, non-specialty, and suspension PVC, and for the present, we would like to present the same way to the market. The way we see as management, we would like to present the same way to the market. We believe both the specialty business are high-margin business. Maybe there could be another tomorrow which is also an high-margin business. So we would like to look at specialty one basket and drive the growth. That's the reason we are presenting them together. We do definitely take your feedback, sir, and we will also see how best we can sort of address the requirements.
All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations, Mr. Ram Kumar Murli and Krishna Kumar, on wonderful result. Sir, my question is, can you give some color of insight in this paste PVC gross margin, which is was around 65,000-67,000? So how it is trending up? That is one. And second, for full year FY23 top, since we are already operating in large part as a full capacity, except some brownfield expansion which is coming in suspension PVC and this hydrogen peroxide. So how do we see the growth for the FY23 volume growth week? Can we expect from which business?
Okay. Good morning, bye-bye, and this is Ram Kumar here. Taking the second question first, the volume growth would effectively come from suspension PVC, the completion of the debottlenecking. This is the phase debottlenecking. Part of it is already completed, and we are seeing the benefit of that already. And by end of June, we should be complete. So maybe another 25,000 tons would come this year, and next year we'd get the full impact of that 30,000 tons. We will also have another 15,000 tons of hydrogen peroxide, which we will get the benefit of, and a small volume increase in caustic soda as we take it up to 100,000. But the full benefit of all of this, and of course, the volume growth will also be there in the custom manufactured chemical business, because the new product that we've commercialized in 21-22 as also the new product that we will be adding in 22-23 would add to the volumes in 22-23. But if you go forward, if you look ahead, once all our projects are commissioned, and that will happen by around, the middle of FY24 and the end of FY24, on a full year basis, all of that would add, like I said earlier, around 1,700 to 1,800 crores at current prices of sales to the top.
Okay. And sir, gross margin in paste PVC?
The gross margin in paste PVC, like I spoke about, the temporarily, while there will not be a specific number that I would like to talk about, the current situation in China is obviously will impact the prices, et cetera, of suspension and of paste PVC. So this will be impacted to some extent in Q1. But we are very confident that from Q2 onwards, this will revert to the normal levels that we've been seeing in 21-22.
Okay, and thank you. All the best, sir.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in terms of PVC outlook for next 2 to 3 years, considering the PVC demand supply and also on the VCM side demand supply, how do you see the spreads panning out over the next 2 to 3 years?
Okay. As far as PVC is concerned, as I mentioned also, I guess, in the previous calls, the long-term, the medium-term outlook is really very strong, largely because the demand growth is expected to fast outpace the supply growth. In fact, IHS Market, which are the leading industry analysts, have estimated that in the next 5 years, by 2026, the demand will grow by around 9 million tons, whereas the supply will grow only by around 4 million tons. And operating rates of plants around the world will go up to over 93%. Now, this is a very high percentage. And what they have not even considered is the fact of a lot of carbide PVC plants getting stressed and, dropping off the grid in China, largely because of the mercury issue as also because of the carbon issue, because these are essentially from coal. So this is going to be a very structurally tight scenario in PVC, and in India we are already deficit by almost 2 million tons, and this is only going to get even more deficit. Therefore, this once the normal laws of supply and demand will tend to operate then, which would really indicate to higher prices all around, we'll have to wait and see how much and how soon they play out.
Okay. And sir, the spread side, do you think the current spread levels are sustainable going forward? What in the near term, medium term?
Yeah. The spreads on between, for instance, PVC and VCM, is not, like I just mentioned, whether it be at the all-time high levels in October or it be at the lower levels in January or the current levels in April, the spreads are more or less stable between $325 to $400. The individual price levels may have changed from 1900 to 1500 and so on, but the spreads remain pretty much stable. And given the structural imbalance that I just spoke about, we are pretty confident that this spread would tend to continue.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshit Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have two questions. One of the custom synthesis business, since we are seeing a lot of opportunities and also we are being now one of the preferred suppliers for an innovator. So, where do we envisage this business, say, 3-4 years down the line? I mean, just a ballpark number in terms of revenues are probably as a percentage of our overall scheme of things. And also, do we plan to kind of get into long-term specific contract with this specific inverter company that we are talking in?
So, I'll answer the second question first and then answer the first one. In terms of long-term contracts, it will depend on the molecules that we have in the pipeline. The fact that,
sorry to interrupt, sir. Your audio is sounding very soft. Can you speak a bit louder?
Okay. This is Krishna here. Hope you can hear me well now.
Much better, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So, with respect to, your question on long-term contracts with specific customers, specific projects, it depends on the projects itself. The fact that, we just announced that one of our customers has upgraded us to a development supplier. By that itself is a significant accomplishment or achievement. What that does is, many of the projects that they would have in their pipeline or new chemistries, new molecules that they are launching, they would consider us or they would, route many of those inquiries to us as a preferred supplier. And some of those projects, if it requires a long-term contract, we would put that in place. So it would depend on the molecules that are there in the pipeline. And on the first question related to growth, I'll let Murali.
In the growth that's expected in the custom manufacturing business, like you mentioned, we are investing around 340 crores in this business. So considering an asset turn of around 2, that itself should give us around 700 crores of incremental revenue from this business to the baseline that we have today. So maybe closer to, if all adds up, closer to at least 1,000 crores of level of revenue in once we complete all the, these expansions and ramp it up. And that is where we see it. Of course, there are opportunities for us to expedite the growth, and there are opportunities for us to expand further. So if we are able to capitalize those opportunities as well, there is potential or upside as well.
Yeah. And sir, on the second question, since it's no point looking at the absolute EBITDA margin. So in terms of absolute EBITDA number, what we're kind of doing right around 340-350 crores quarterly. So that number, what you're saying, is probably sustainable in medium term.
Yeah, like Ramkumar explained earlier, the numbers that we have done in FY22 is eminently sustainable, and it will improve by the volume increases that are happening in the, by way of suspension PVC debottlenecking, which has happened 10%, and hydrogen peroxide, we are ramping up to full capacity utilization, adding another 15,000 tons. Caustic soda as well will add some volumes this year, and we are also restoring capacity 120,000 tons, so which will add volumes, another 20,000 tons volumes next year. And we talked about the custom manufacturing business and also the paste PVC business coming on stream. So with the base of the one, the existing numbers like Ram explained, we believe it is sustainable. And with the volumes that are expected to come up, this can, we expect at the current levels of prices being maintained, this can only go up.
Thank you, Naudible.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today on this earnings call, and we appreciate your interest in Chemplast. If you have any further queries, please do contact FGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you everyone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Chemplast Sanmar Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.